Well, let's continue our look at the life of Joseph. It's so good to do this. And, you know, within the pages of the Bible and within history, there's this unusual phenomenon concerning the great servants of God. In one way or another, they have all experienced great difficulty, hardship, including suffering and misunderstanding and mistreatment. And as a young person, if you haven't learned that yet, you will, because that's just life. And however, in the later times, when you look back at that difficulty, God elevates each one of them. And one of the most faithful servants of God that anyone will ever meet in the Bible is Joseph. So when a believer remains faithful to God by refusing to yield to sinful temptation, that believer may be absolutely certain that even though he or she may experience some very negative results, God is still with them and will eventually honor them. God's promotions are earned by faithfulness. And faithfulness is demonstrated in the face of temptation and in hardship and adversity. So think of Joseph's situation. He had lost his family, his homeland, his job, his reputation, and he was chained in a dungeon. And all this happened to him because he had been faithful to God. So look at God's sovereign direction and presence in Joseph's life that brought God's kindness. Look at verse 21 of chapter 39. It says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love." So that word love, that word kindness, implies that God loved and favored Joseph and zealously desired to demonstrate his kindness toward him. And the fact that Joseph loved God enough to say no to temptation moved God to love him at a very unique level, even to the point in which God zealously desired to do good things for Joseph. And then we see God's sovereign direction and presence in Joseph's life that brought the chief jailer's favor. Look at the second part of verse 21. "And gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it." And goes on in verse 23, and it says, "The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed." So God turned the mind of the jail keeper to favor Joseph to the extent that he put everything into Joseph's unlimited and unaccountable authority. And so four times in this chapter, it specifically states that the Lord is with Joseph. Twice, it specifically says that God causes those in charge of Joseph to recognize it. It's quite obvious from this that God wants us to know that promotions come through him turning leaders' minds. And so both Potiphar and the chief jailer are godless Egyptians in pagan religions. And then we see God's direction sovereignly and presence in Joseph's life brought key leaders into the jail. Look at verses 1 through 3 of chapter 40. "Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined." And so this chief cupbearer and chief baker were two important officials in Pharaoh's court. The cupbearer was responsible for preparing and handling the wine and drinks, and the chief baker was responsible for overseeing the various breads and pastries and cakes served to the king. And both of these had offended the king. That Hebrew word means both had missed the mark of Pharaoh's expectations. And in this one place where Joseph is located, you have this chief bodyguard, cupbearer, and baker. And God quietly was bringing all these leaders to this one house. And then we see God's sovereign direction and presence in Joseph's life gave him responsibility of caring for key leaders. Look at verses 4 through 8. He goes on and he says, "The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. And one night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who are confined in the prison, each his own dream and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" And they said to him, "We have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." So we see these facts that are brought out as to how Joseph cared for these people. First of all, he served them physically. He took care of them. Secondly, he cared for them emotionally. They were dejected. He noticed that. And then thirdly, he cared for them spiritually. And he basically pointed to the Lord. He says, interpretations belong to God. And then we see God's sovereign direction and presence in Joseph's life gave him the ability to interpret the dreams. Look at verse 9. So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, "This is it. This is the interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh. So get me out of this house, for I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit." And when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, "I also had a dream. There were three cake baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head." And Joseph answered and said, "This is its interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, the Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. And on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all of his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to the position, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them." And so we see that the interpretation of the cupbearer's dream is very favorable, but the chief baker's dream was very unfavorable. Now look at how the chapter ends. Verse 23, "Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." Now, faithfulness to God may cause us to end up in hostile circumstances. And then it may, faithfulness to God in temptations and trials brings God special attention and favor. Faithfulness to God is the key to eventual promotions, both in this life and the next. Faithfulness to God means God will bring many people into our lives who will eventually be used to care for us and even promote us. And faithfulness to God means clearly and accurately setting forth God's truth. And faithfulness to God does not mean instant prosperity or promotion. Faithfulness to God means God will never forget about you or your work. So keep those things in mind, because you could be discouraged today. Know that God is faithful.